Will you please turn to 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We will read verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do ye not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye have been bought with a price. Glorify now then God in your body. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your intelligent service. Now we'll go back to 1 Corinthians, chapter 9. Verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I buffet my body and lead it captive, lest after having preached to others, I should be myself rejected. And go back to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that has raised up Jesus from among the dead dwell in you, He that has raised up Christ from among the dead shall quicken your mortal body also, on account of His Spirit which dwells in you. And the same chapter, verse 23. And not only that, but even we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also ourselves groan in ourselves, awaiting sonship, that is, the redemption of our body. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do want to praise and thank Thee because Thou hast bought us with a great price. Thou hast even shed Thy blood. Broken Thy body in order to buy us for Thyself. So Lord, as we gathered here this morning, we do realize that we are not our own, but we are Thine. Teach us how to really offer our bodies a living sacrifice. That in this body, Thou mayest be glorified. We offer this hour into your hand and just look at our Holy Spirit to plant Thy living word in the innermost of our being, that from now on, by Thy grace, we may live for Thee and no longer for ourselves. We ask in thy precious name. Amen. Well, brothers, we are still on spiritual exercise. I wonder if we are still in the gymnasium of Christ. Again, I will repeat that if you're only here to hear some words, some teaching, it does not help you. But if you are really actively cooperating with the Lord, exercising your spirit before the Lord, according to His Word, then it will bring great profit to you, not only in this life, but even in the life to come. And this morning we would like to focus our attention on how spiritual exercise sanctifies our bodies. Now, brothers and sisters, we know from Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, there is only one short verse telling us how our body was formed. The Lord God formed man's body with the dust of the ground. That's it. Look at your body today. What is your body made of? It's made of dust of the ground. It's made of red earth. The elements in your body is no different than the element of the red earth. And that's why we find our body give us world consciousness. We are in touch with the world around us. But can you imagine that our God, who can form our body with the dust of the ground, and yet, what a marvel our body is. In the hand of that skillful potter, he made a body, a vessel of clay, of earth, and made it such a wonderful instrument. So no wonder we find in Psalm 139, the psalmist, David, in Psalm 139, when he considered the body that God has created, listen to what he said, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. How wonderful is our God, that he can use the dust of the ground and make the human body a wonder. It is fearfully, wonderfully made. The more you study your body, the more you feel awesome. Even today, after the physiologists have studied the body for so long, they still do not know fully about the body. It is fearfully, wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. But did it ever come to your mind? Why does God give us a body? Is it that we may live? We may eat and drink, and tomorrow we die? Is there any purpose for our wonderful God to use such a cheap material to make such a wonderful body? Is there any purpose of God behind it? Can you think of God making something without any purpose? Our God is a God of purpose. Even before the foundation of the world, He purposed a purpose in His heart, according to His good pleasure. And that includes our body. Now, what is God's purpose in creating a body for us? I think it is a question we should ask ourselves. Otherwise, we do not know how to use our body and how to live in this body, because we don't know why it is there, why it is given to you. I think it is a matter of first importance that we should know what is God's purpose in creating us, man, with such a fearful and wonderful body. Do you know the answer? I think the answer is very clear. Because when our Lord Jesus came into this world to become a man, now listen to what God said. And you can find it in Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, begin with verse 5. Wherefore, coming into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou willest not, but thou hast prepared me a body. Why? Verse 6. Thou tookest no pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. Verse 7. Then I said, lo, I come, in the roll of the book it is written of me, to do, O God, thy will. So here is the secret. Here tells us, why does God give us a body? He created a body for us for one reason, to do the will of God. Now, if it is true with our Lord Jesus, because he's the true man, the man that God has in mind when he created mankind. And that must be true with all of us. So what is the purpose of God in creating such a wonderful, fearful instrument for us, that we may live to do God's will? So anything short of that fails in the purpose of God concerning our body. Our body was created with a purpose, because with a living body, we are able to live for God. We are able to God's will, to do God's will. We are able to fulfill God's purpose. And what a glorious purpose that is. But unfortunately, our forefathers in the Garden of Eden, they made a wrong choice. God gave man a free will to choose how are you going to use your body. You can choose to live by the life of God, depend upon God, and by his grace, live to glorify God. Or you can take the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Develop your own self. Live your own life. Live for yourself. Be your own God. And reduce that wonderful body to be a body of sin and a body of death. Unfortunately, our forefathers made a decision for us. So, brothers and sisters, when we are born with a wonderful body God has created. But unfortunately, this body is already in bondage to the law of sin and of death. So what is this mortal body today? In Romans chapter 6, verse 6, it says it is a body of sin. This body knows nothing but to sin. This body is not able to do God's will, because this body is in bondage. It's under the enemy of God. And also is governed by the fallen man's sin. Sinful man. Flesh. Self. And therefore, this body, instead of serving God's purpose, we find this body is a body of sin. It knows nothing but to sin against God. And then in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, he said this is a body of death. Not only of sin, but also of death. Sin is to do what you shouldn't do. Death is you cannot do what you should do. That's death. So, brothers and sisters, look at the world today. Look at the millions and millions of bodies. What are our bodies doing? The body does nothing but sin. The body is under death. And one day, dust returns to dust. We need to have a very clear understanding what happened when man fell concerning our body. But thank God, He came to the rescue. And He came to buy our body back with a great price. You know, that is the reason why week after week, we come together to remember the death of our Lord Jesus. Because we need to always remember what a price He paid to ransom us from the bondage of sin and of death. He buy us back. For God. So that's why you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, it says, you are bought with a price. Brothers and sisters, outwardly, after we believe in the Lord Jesus, did you find your body changed? Constitutionally, so far as makeup is concerned, it hasn't changed. This is still the mortal body. Now, even superficially, yes, there is some change. You change from a long face to a round face. But so far as constitution is concerned, it remains the same. Now, what has changed? The ownership has changed. Before you are saved, your body belongs to the enemy. He used your fallen self to manage your body. And that's the reason why you live to sin and live to die. But thank God, after we believe in the Lord Jesus, a great change has come to our body. This body is no longer under the bondage of God's enemy. This body belongs to God. He has bought us with a price. We have a ransomed body. The ownership has changed. God regains us as our owner. So he has the right to use our body. Our position has changed. I remember a story. Long ago, when this country still had slaves, there in somewhere in this country, there was auction for slaves. And the story was a girl. She was chained and on the block to be auctioned. And a group of people gathered around to auction for that girl. And the girl was weeping. But secretly, he tried to open her eyes to see around who were those people that were buying her. As he looked at them, he lost all hope. These people were cruel, hard, harsh. Her dome was sealed. But suddenly another man came in, and he put in the highest price. He bought the girl. To the surprise of all people, he asked a person to come, break up the chain. And after the chains were broken, he told that girl, "I buy you to set you free. Now go." And he turned around and left. The girl was stunned. She didn't know what to do. But then, she raised her arms, ran after that man, and she said, "I want to serve you for life." Brothers and sisters, this is what happened when our Lord Jesus bought us with a high. Legally, you are his. You have no right to live for yourselves. But God does not deal with us with equality. He always deals with us with love. He set us free. If after you are bought with such a great price, and you still want to live for yourself, fine. You can do that. But is that what you want? If you're constrained by the love of Christ, what will you do? You will be like that girl, willingly give yourself to the Lord to serve him all your life. That's consecration. So, brothers and sisters, legally, our body is ransomed. It belongs to you're free. You're free to choose whether you still want to live your old life, a life of sin, a life of death, or you want to live for the glory of God. All you need to do is present your bodies a living sacrifice. A sacrifice is something to be killed and offered. But this is a living sacrifice. As long as you live, you have given yourself to the Lord and allow Him to live out His life in you. And that is your reasonable service. Are we doing that? And you know, when an old owner of a store sold, as it were, his store, and the store will come under another owner, new management. Now, what usually happens? Now, some of the old employee may be re-employed. You know, when the old master went out, the store was bought. Now all those employees become disemployed. Now that is what you find in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing that our old man has been crucified with Christ. And it is said in Romans 6, 6, that, now what happened to the body? That the body of sin might be annulled. Now, the word annulled here doesn't mean eradicated. No longer there. No. In the original, it means that the body of sin may be disemployed, unemployed. Now, because the owner has changed. So all the employees are disemployed, out of job. But sometimes the new owner will continue to re-employ those old employees. And when that happened, you know what happened? Usually the store will be closed for maybe a week or a month. Why? Not only to rearrange the inside, but to retrain the employee. Because the old employee were used to the old ways. And if the new owner opened up the new store, by habit, he would do things in the old way, the employee. So the employee, re-employed, has to be retrained. His mindset has to be changed. You know, we have a mindset. That is, our mind is set up working in a certain way. And it's all according to the old master. But now we have a new master, and our mind is to be reset. So that is consecration, you know. Consecration is when you present your bodies a living sacrifice, then the Holy Spirit does something to your mind. He will renew your mind. Give you a new mindset. Now only with this new minding, you're able to do the things of the Spirit. And no longer the speaking things of the flesh. So brothers and sisters, you find that after He has bought us, and after we have consecrated, responded, consecrated ourselves to the Lord, that they will take a time for this resetting. Now that's what's happening today. Isn't that true? If He has bought us, and you do not present your bodies a living sacrifice, then what happened? There will be no retraining. You will be still using your body in the old way. And unfortunately, that happened to many so-called Christians. I hope none of us will be there. We have been constrained by the love of Christ. We have presented our bodies to Him as a living sacrifice. We are willing to serve our new master. We are willing to live a new kind of life. Not sinning, but glorifying God. We need to be trained. This is the gymnasium of Christ. This is spiritual exercise. The Holy Spirit will begin to work in our lives. What we did formerly, He will tell us. No more. What we cannot do before, He will say, do it. Because this is what I will do. And we are in this retraining course. We need to learn. We need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Tell us a new way of life. Brothers and sisters, is this theory? No. This is everyday life. Every day we are going through this new process. Once there were soldiers on a train, on their way to the front. And some of the soldiers decided to play cards. But they only had three of them. So they turned to another soldier who was sitting there. Join us and play the card with us. But that soldier was a Christian. He said, sorry, I have no hand. They look at him. You have hand? How can you say you have no hand? He said, sorry, this is not my hand. It belongs to the Lord. Do you have such an attitude? When you are doing anything, do you have the sense that these hands do not belong to you? You have no right to use them. They belong to the Lord. Do you realize that your feet are not your own? You cannot do anywhere you want to. You go where He sent you. Do you realize that you cannot speak anything you like? This mouth does not belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. Do you realize that your life is not yours? It is His. Much spiritual exercise is going on. But unfortunately, many neglect it. Our body is not used for the glory of God. Our body is used for our selfish reason. You know, when we are really consecrating our bodies as a living sacrifice, and this is a daily matter, not just in big things. Life is composed mostly of small things. If we are not faithful in small things, we cannot be faithful in big things. Everything adds up. It is in our daily life that we learn how to allow our Lord to use our body. Our body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Even in our eating and drinking, even in the way we spend our time, even in the place where we go, in the company that we keep. Brothers and sisters, this body is not yours. It is the Lord's. This body is not to gratify you. This body is to glorify the Lord. How glorious. So that's the reason why you find in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may the God of peace sanctify your holy spirit and soul and body, and to be kept, preserved, blameless at the coming of the Lord. Our body that has been ransomed need to be consecrated. Our consecrated body need to be sanctified. That is the process. Do you think God will accept anybody that has not been ransomed? Romans 12:1, present your body as a living sacrifice. What kind of body that is? Is it your fallen body? Your body of sin and of death? God will not have a sacrifice like that. So it must be a ransomed body. A body that has been ransomed. Then God will accept it. And when God accepts it, His Holy Spirit, who dwells in us, will begin to work to bring it to you know, in the process, there are two things that will happen. One is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. There he says, verse 27. But I buffet my body and lead it captive, lest after having preached to others, I should be myself rejected. You know, when you really consecrate your body to the Lord, then the Holy Spirit will begin to work in you. That's where spiritual exercise is. For instance, suppose you like to sleep late. And that is a common thing, because you find it even in Proverbs it tells of such things. Now you are all sleeping late. To gratify your lazy body. So when you get up, there is no time for you to go to the Lord, have a quiet time with the Lord, to read your Bible, to pray, to have a time, sweet time with the Lord. So one sister said, our problem is between the bed and the Lord. What do you like most, God or your bed? So you have to buffet your body. Now, buffet simply means you have to beat it black and blue. Why? Because your body wants to be your master. But because Christ is your master. So that is the conflict. You have to beat it black and blue, not to gratify it. And to lead your body captive. Your body should be under your control. Or may I say, under the Spirit's control. Your body shouldn't control you. Now, it seems a small thing. For you, it's eating. Why do you eat? Can you be gluttonous? Indulge yourself? Now, who is your master? The body or you? Or Christ? Brothers and sisters, very practical. Nothing theoretical. Nothing really in a false way. But it is supernaturally natural. You know, you don't need to be so tense, you know, and get you nervous. No, God does not want you that way. It's supernaturally natural. These things will come up. These challenges will come up. These crises will come up. And that's the opportunity for you to buffet your body and lead it captive. That is one side. And there is another wonderful side. And that wonderful side is in Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Verse 11. But if the spirit of him that has raised up Jesus from among the dead dwell in you, he that has raised up Christ from among the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies also on account of his spirit which dwells in you. So on the one hand, you experience the buffeting of your body. And on the other hand, you will begin to experience the quickening of your mortal body by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you're led by the Lord to do something, and your body doesn't seem to be able to catch up. What happened? You look to the Lord, and you find a quickening of your mortal body by the Holy Spirit. In the early days of Watchman Nee, his body was so weak. We are told that when he went to one place to the other place, walking, he had to stop by all the electric posts, wrap himself around the post, and rest a while, and then walk on. And oftentimes in his early days, he was agonizing on bed. But when the time he should minister, he got up and ministered for 2 hours. Quickening of the mortal body. You will begin to experience the resurrection power of God, even in this life, in this mortal body. So these two experiences will go on in the process, under spiritual exercise. But that's not the end. Because Romans chapter 8, verse 23 tells us that we all who are in this mortal body we have the first fruit of the Spirit. We also ourselves groan in ourselves, awaiting sonship, that is the redemption of our body. One day, at the coming of the Lord, and thank God, the day is near. This mortal body will be fully that is, from this mortal body, we will take up an immortal body. From this corruptible body, we will take up an incorruptible body. From this physical body, we will take up a spiritual body. And at that time, death is conquered. Now you'll find that in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. So, dear brothers and sisters, we have blessed hope. his body will be fully redeemed and sanctified. Just like our Lord Jesus, when his mortal body was put in the tomb, when he resurrected, he took upon himself a spiritual body. So one day, we will be relieved of this mortal body. Thank God. We'll have an immortal, incorruptible, spiritual. And in that body, we can serve without bounds. Wonderful. So this is for salvation. Brothers and sisters, in view of such hope, what should we do today? D.L. Moody, that famous evangelist. He was a big man, 280 pounds. When he was young, he heard someone said, God is still waiting to find a man who will wholly surrender to God. And what can God do in and through that man? And when D.L. Moody heard about it, he said, it doesn't say God is waiting for a great man or a small man. A learned man or an unlearned man. God just said, God is waiting to find a man. I'm that man. I'm willing to yield myself totally to God. He's a man of 280 pounds. He said, every ounce of my 280 pounds belong to God. And what God can do with such a body. Our Lord Jesus, with that body, mortal body, lived only 33 years. And he only ministered 3.5 years. But the Apostle John said, if I'm going to write all the things that our Lord Jesus have done or said, even the world cannot contain the books. Brothers and sisters, what is the difference? Same mortal body, same time, but different service. So after all, what is a body for? In 1 Corinthians 6:20, he says, you are not your own, you are bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. That is the message God wants us to hear today. Dear Lord, thou hast bought us with a price, but how we have abused this body. we really dedicate our lives to Thee. Take it and use it for Thy glory.